Our Father and our God, we do honor and thank thee this morning for the mercy that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father, we now pray that thou will bless this time that our word is open. May thou speak for thy people with an anticipation to hear from thee. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In a world of text messaging, the use of acronyms have become commonplace. Instead of lengthy sentences, people now use acronyms. Examples of such acronyms are these: IJN, in Jesus' name. You also have LMK, let me know. ILY, I love you. Now, recently, I just stumbled across a new one, at least to me, and it's NMB, not my business. You know, that last acronym needs little to no explanation. When someone says to you, it is not my business, they simply mean they don't want to get involved, or what you're going through is really not their concern. And in case you've not noticed this, I believe this acronym actually best describes one of the prevailing mindsets in our contemporary world. You know, the rise of individualism has given birth to a state of social indifference. The old adage, it takes a village to raise a child, has been replaced by sayings such as this: stay in your lane or mind your own business. And you know what? A vast majority of people seems to be doing just that. They're staying in their lane and caring less about their neighbor's welfare, even the face of blatant injustice and crime. Like it happened a couple of years ago on a mass transit train in Philadelphia, where a man was harassing a young lady on the train, and right in front of the other passengers, he actually ripped off her clothes and sexually assaulted her. And none of the other passengers came to the aid of this victim. You know, such indifference by this passenger, I believe, is just a microcosm of the gradual shift in societal values and mindset that there's so many today who just don't care about their neighbor. But you know, while society might be moving in a direction of apathy, the Lord Jesus expects his people to move in the opposite direction, in the direction of care and concern, not only for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but also for the world. You know, unlike Cain, whom God asked, where is your brother Abel? And he responded, I do not know, am I my brother's keeper? You know, the Lord expects each one of us to actually be our brother's keeper, to reach out in love and concern to our neighbors, to extend to them the same mercy and compassion God has extended to us. And I believe the Apostle Paul actually crystallized this teaching when he wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. Again, pay attention to that. Let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. This is our mandate as Christians. We are mandated to be our brother's keeper. So the pointed question this morning I really want to address is very simple. You know, in a world of individualism and ideological divide, how can you and I, as Christians, actually perfect this mandate or shall I say master, this mandate, so that through our deeds, the light of Jesus can truly be seen in a fallen world. Well, I believe this morning we can turn to the Bible. And out of the Bible, I'm going to deduce and harvest for you ways that you and I can actually be truly our brother's keeper so that the light of Jesus can be seen. Now, as a preamble, one thing that is clear from the pages of Scripture is that God will not instruct us to do what he has not equipped us to do. And this is true about this mandate to be a brother's keeper. So when you begin to search through Scripture, you will discover that God has actually equipped us for this calling in two unique ways. And that's where I want to start this morning. I want you to see the unique ways God has actually equipped us to do or to be a brother's keeper. First of all, we have been prepared for good deeds. Again, loved ones, you want to write that down. Each one of us have been prepared for good deeds. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul will write, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, the Greek word translated workmanship is a very unique word that simply means that which is made. But the implication has to do with something that's a masterpiece. And what Paul is saying is this: we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. In essence, the Apostle Paul is trying to say this: before the foundation of the earth, you and I that are believers have been elected, designed, and fashioned in Jesus Christ for good works. That is why he said that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. So you can see here, loved ones, that we have been prepared for good deeds. God has wired each one of us sitting here this morning to do good works. God has wired you to be your brother's keeper. That is why when you go to Matthew chapter 5, and the Lord Jesus teaching after the Beatitudes, he will say, "You are the salt of the earth." Then he will say, "You are the light of the world." So notice what the Lord Jesus did not say here. He didn't say to us, "Try to be the salt." He did not say, "Try to be the light." Rather, he said, "You are the light. You are the salt." The implication of what the Lord Jesus saying is that God has wired you and prepared you to be the salt that will make the difference in this world, to be the light that will shine in darkness. And he said, "So let your light so shine, so that men may see your good deeds, your good works." So you see the implication here. Implication is that we have been prepared before the foundation of the earth as believers for good works. So I truly believe that as a Christian, good works should actually be second nature to you and I. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying. You know, you sit in a train. Nobody have to tell you to get up when you see an elderly person walk into the train and they have to stand. Instinctively, you will have to get up because you have been prepared to show compassion. You have been prepared to do good works. You can't see your neighbor struggling with two kids all around a hand and trying to carry a bag, and you just wait for them to call you to help you. You act because you as a Christian have been prepared for good works. And I truly believe this morning, if your mindset is still anchored in individualism, you might need to check your connection, whether you're truly connected to the vine. Because if you're connected to the vine, you will get that spiritual grace to do good deeds. Now, the second thing is this. I want you to observe from Scripture. is that not only have we been prepared for good deeds, we have been empowered to do good works. Watch what I just said. We have been empowered. Now, the Apostle Peter will say this well. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. He says, seeing that it is divine nature, or what I call is divine power, has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. So now the phrase divine power or divine nature, what does that mean? What Peter is saying is that God has granted us the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit is God's divine power. Every single one of you this morning, the moment you made your confession of faith, the moment you said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior, you were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that empowerment of God that grants to us everything, watch it now, pertaining to life and godliness. That means there is no thing that as believers we desire to do for the kingdom of God that we have not been spiritually empowered. And again, Paul will say this in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In essence, the Holy Spirit has empowered us, or the Holy Spirit empowers us and grants us the grace to reject cowardice and embrace boldness and walk by faith and do great works and do great deeds for Jesus. The Holy Spirit makes our heart tender so that we can express love and compassion towards others. It works in us. The Holy Spirit works in us in such a way that we will abandon our selfish agenda and our selfishness. Then we will embrace selflessness. So as a believer this morning, I want you to know, not only have you been prepared for this mandate, you have been empowered to be your brother's keeper. That you cannot be like Cain and ask the question, am I my brother's keeper? You cannot close your eyes and shut your bowels of mercy when you see your brothers going through, your sisters going through. You are prompted by God through his Holy Spirit, prepared to do good. Now, let me flip this strip this morning and now come to that very pivotal question. You know, how then do we as believers perfect, or shall I say, master this mandate? In other words, how do we become even excelling in this mandate and really, really let our light so shine that man will see our good deeds and glorify our Father who is in heaven? I got something for you this morning. I believe scripture lays out for us how we can master this mandate. First of all, this is it. You must practice what I call intentional kindness. You want to write that down, loved ones. You must practice intentional kindness. You know, it is often said by the world, show random kindness. But as Christians, in order to master this mandate or to perfect this mandate, to be a brother's keeper, we must practice intentional kindness. So you might say, Pastor, what's the definition of intentional kindness? Well, intentional kindness simply means diligently looking for the opportunity to do good rather than waiting for the opportunity to come to you. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? That you're diligently looking for the opportunity to do good. Intentionally, you're going out there looking for the opportunity rather than you just standing by, folding your hands and say, okay, come to me, random kindness. And a story was told to me, which I believe was a real life story, of a young lady who all the time in our vehicle will put a bag You know, when she goes shopping, she will get out all the groceries and put in a bag. And have this bag called, I believe they said they call it a kindness bag. And every time she drives on the street and sees someone who is either homeless or destitute, she pulls up and hands them that bag. I was told this, but I found that amazing. Because they said she kept doing that. Implication is that she intentionally looking for ways to be kind. You see what I'm saying? She is intentionally looking for ways to express kindness. And loved ones, this is the deal. If you today as a believer make it your goal to be intentionally kind, to practice intentional kindness, you are going to be a difference maker in this world. You are going to truly perfect that calling to be your brother's keeper. You are going to be a difference maker, that you don't even have to share the gospel, that people will see you uniquely, and even your life will speak to the notion of who you believe in, that they will be prompted to ask you, why are you doing this? Then you will lead them to Calvary. You will point them to the cross. That is how you and I can master this calling to be our brother's keeper. And I can tell you what, when we do this, our light will shine. And the God we serve that people can see will become visible in our deeds. That is the key. He will become visible for the world to see in our deeds. The second is this. We have to, what I call, have a transformed perspective by seeing the God in every person. Again, watch what I just said. I have a transformed perspective by seeing the God in every person. You know, one thing is true. Each one of us sitting here, have been made in the image and likeness of God, which means that all of us here are image bearers of God. Whether you are saved or unsaved, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're white or you're black, whether you're Republican or Democrat, each one of us are image bearers of God, meaning before God, all of us are important. Before God, all of us are much loved. Before God, all of us have got worth. You know, this is always the missing link in our perception of people. Get what I'm saying? This is the missing link in our, even in as Christians, in our perception of people. We fail to always see the God in people. Oh, yes, we see the person outwardly. We see the person in terms of their social class. We see the person in terms of their ethnicity. But then we fail to understand. We fail to realize that each one is made in the image and likeness of God. And when we fail to realize that, we are bound to treat people with distrust and prejudice, which ultimately lead to a lack of hostility, to a lack of hospitality rather, because we just don't care. Because we see them from the external. But when we begin to have this transformed perception of people and understand that there is a God, there is an image of God. God has implanted his image. He has created us in his image and likeness. Then we will begin to change in our attitude. And our attitude of change will begin to now express compassion towards others. And our Lord Jesus will actually capture this when he would describe for us in Matthew chapter 25 at that judgment between the sheep and the goat. I don't know whether you remember that. And the Lord Jesus will say, When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you visited. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to see me. And they ask, the righteous will ask, Lord, when did we do that? And the Lord Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you've done it to one of these brothers of mine, the least of them, you've done it unto me. What the Lord Jesus is saying, listen, I am in the least of them. That when you help that man in the gutter, when you feed that homeless man or give that homeless man a lunch bag, whatever you do, you're doing it to the least of them. Jesus is saying, yes, you're doing it as unto me. That is what we need to understand. We need to understand. And when we have that understanding, we will now become our brother's keeper. At times, the Jesus we are serving might be the Jesus that we miss when we came into this church in that man that sat down the street and we passed them by and ignored him as if he never existed. And we walked into the church and praised the Lord, live here, get into our beautiful cars and go to our beautiful homes and forget about those who are destitute out there. But we forget dignity is in them. Worth is in them. And as believers in Jesus Christ, to be able to rather replicate or reveal or radiate this notion of our brother's keeper, we must have to see the image of God in every man. And loved ones, when you begin to see that, you begin to change in your attitude towards others. Number three, to perfect or to master this mandate to be a brother's keeper, you must become mission-minded. Again, pay attention to what you said. You have to become mission-minded. You know, there is a direct correlation between mission, seeking to share Christ, and doing good. You know, when a Christian becomes mission-minded, he or she will always find every opportunity to either meet strangers and share the gospel, but also will always seek opportunity to be in the best light so as to pull that unbeliever towards Christ. You see what I'm saying? He will always seek, or she will always seek, to represent Christ in a great light. You know, the success of ministries such as Samaritan's Pulse and World Vision and Barnabas Aid and the Voice of the Martyrs, you know, their success is actually built on the fact that they reach out to the less privileged. They go all around the world to feed homeless, to clothe the naked, to do medical mission, to share, to meet the physical need of others. And in doing good, that opens the door for the power of the gospel. That opens the door to let the gospel spread forth. But it begins first with a mission-mindedness. So for you to be your brother's keeper, listen this morning, you must have this mission-centered understanding. You must understand that the harvest is plentiful, that you and I are in the mission field here. Your workplace is a mission field. Your family is a mission field. Your colleagues that you hang around with and talk with and watch football with, it's a mission field. And when you begin to care for them and care as your brother and your sister, you become their brother's keeper and sister's keeper. Guess what? You perfect that because you are always in the best light. But apart from that, that becomes the door, the gateway to winning souls for Jesus Christ. Don't miss that opportunity, loved ones. Not only to master this calling to be a brother's keeper, but also through that calling to let a light shine that men and women will see that Jesus is in us. And here's the final point, loved ones. To master this calling to be your brother's keeper. You have to walk daily in the Spirit. You have to walk daily in the Spirit. You know, one of the great hindrances of good works is actually selfishness. You know, selfishness is what breeds individualism. And many that are selfish are just, you know, it's all about me, I am myself, right? I don't care what the world is. And you know what? Selfishness is anchored in our sin nature, the flesh. That's why we are selfish. Because our flesh always gravitates towards what belongs to us and everybody else. I don't care. But in order to be able to tear down this endurance, we have to constantly, watch what I use now, constantly walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul said to us, walk by the Spirit so as not to carry out the desire of the flesh. Because each one of them are in opposition to one another. You know, the flesh wants you to do wrong. The flesh wants to pull you away from that which is right. The flesh wants you to act out of character. The flesh wants you to think about yourself and be like Cain that only focuses on his own selfish agenda. But yet the Spirit of God wants you to look for your brother, to look for your sister, to do good to all men, to let the light Christ shine in you. It is when you walk in the Spirit that you are not only empowered to do good things, but you are able to restrain the desire of the flesh and able to reveal the light of Jesus. And listen to me, loved ones, walk by the Spirit constantly, day by day. Pray before you leave home every morning. Holy Spirit, I surrender my will. I surrender my mind. I surrender my heart into thy hands. Holy Spirit, lead me today. Lead me. Lead my mouth. Lead my ears. Lead my mouth. Lead every part of me. When you do that daily, you will find that then the flesh is put at bay and the deeds of the fruit of the Spirit will begin to be manifested in your life. The fruit of love, of mercy, long-suffering, all the amazing fruit of the Spirit, you will begin to reveal that. And guess what? You will now master this mandate to be your brother's keeper. This morning, loved ones, I tender to you. Cain asked that question, am I my brother's keeper? And I say to you, yes, you are your brother's keeper. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, would you help us? Help us truly to be our brother's keeper. Help us to perfect and to master this calling. That men and women will see our uniqueness and they will glorify our Father who is in heaven. Holy Father, into thy hands, I commit this time of teaching. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.